everybody, and welcome to this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. And coming up on this month's show, we're going to be catching up with some clubs who've received some good news over the past week or so with regards to Build Base. And we're going to be catching up with a couple of clubs who've been recipients of grants from the Trident Community Foundation. We're also going to be catching up with Chase Town as well to talk about their new youth pathway at the club. But before that, let's kick things off talking about the Trident Community Foundation. And shortly we'll be hearing from David Dent, chairman at Shildon. But to begin with, let's go to the Yorkshire coast and to Bridlington Town. Bridlington off the pitch have been doing some cracking work following the opening of their brand new clubhouse, and they've received some grant funding to continue that work. And on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the chairman at Queensgate. It's a welcome to the show to Peter Smurthwaite. Well, Peter, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on this brilliant news on the grant funding. Tell us a bit more about where this money's heading at the club.
Well, you may be aware, but we recently were lucky enough to get some grants off the East Riding Council and the Football Foundation, supported by the Premier League programme, to build a complete new clubhouse at our place. Part of that was to get more community involvement in the clubhouse, starting various organisations and clubs. We already have Andy's Man's Club. We have an organisation called MASH, or ex-military people who come in. And these things tend to be held during the day, so we're getting lots of usage. And then we're already running the Sporting Memories organisation, but we had a meeting on yesterday, and that's a really, really good function, is that Sporting Memories one. So we decided that we would also like to proceed with what we call the Bridlington Town AFC Sport for All programme. And what the grant that has been given to us will help us a lot to see this through, because what we're looking to do will provide much needed social and physical activity for the local community, and it will also enhance the current Sporting Memories programme. It'll be similar people and perhaps more people, and it'll be held in our new town bar, which I've just explained, the clubhouse and community facility. Our main focus will be on older and more vulnerable adults who've been experiencing social isolation and loneliness over the past couple of years, which, as you can appreciate, we're just trying to get people to come out of the houses and get back into socialising. The main activities of the Sport for All programme will focus on walking football, cycling, walking or hiking, and inclusive disability sports. Each session will be different and be led by local activity leaders and volunteers from the Bridlington Seasiders CIC, which is our charitable arm of the club, which helps raise funds. And as part of the grant funding request from and the money we've now received from yourselves, we intend to purchase equipment for each sport and activity, as well as placing volunteers on training such as walk leaders, FA play marker courses, and the club intends to provide the facilities in kind, including the pitch to play walking football and the town bar for the delivery of disability and inclusive activities and storage of the equipment. So it's a massive bonus to get this grant from the Trident, which now allows us to proceed with this programme.
Absolutely incredible stuff. It really is, Peter. I mean, there's so much stuff going on there. I mean, I've spoken to Sporting Memories in the past, and the impact that, you know, just having little sessions talking about past sporting events can have on older people, and having those kind of meetings, it's transformative, isn't it, for a lot of people's lives. It's incredible initiatives, and you've already mentioned Andy's Man Club, but also, you know, things like walking football as well, and it's putting Bridlington and the football club as one, really, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, the local library tried to start like a Sporting Memories club, and only one person turned up, and he said to the organiser that, "Oh, I think I'll stay at the Bridlington Town when I get pie and peas there."
Well, I didn't even mention the catering. Superb.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what we do. Obviously, you know, they're coming for the afternoon. They need looking after, and you know, we do fabulous pie and peas at our football club. There's people who teams who come along and support us now. So, but no, I totally agree with you. I think everybody likes to talk about the good old days, especially when you get to a certain age. And it's great that, you know, they can be in you know, secure premises, and you know, and people are organising things for them. All they have to do is turn up and just get involved, and we're hoping to build on the numbers, you know, month on month.
Well, normally in these kind of interviews, I say, "Oh, what are the next steps?" But as you've already touched upon, you're already in the middle of it all, aren't you? It's just kind of reaffirming what you're doing and giving that little bit of financial help to grow it even further. So, I mean, it's just carry on as you were, really, I suppose, with a few more exciting initiatives to come.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, normally football grounds lay dormant, don't they, for, you know, 6 days of the week, and only come spring to life on a Saturday or a Sunday, depending on what level of football you're playing. And, you know, our intention always has been, if we got ourselves a decent facility, we wanted to get maximum use for the community. I mean, we've had a pigeon club at our place for years, so they're highly delighted with the new premises, and again, we help them out. So, you know, and the more people who identify with the club, their relations then come along and start watching Bridlington Town football team, and the whole thing gathers momentum.
And just to talk about the football inside of things for that one or 2 days a week that the club's not doing, great community work. I mean, we're at step four, Bridlington Town. It's an awfully tight relegation battle going on, isn't it? But I suppose the main focus is stay away from that third bottom spot, and everything will be happy for the summer.
That's it, yeah. When we first came into this league at the start of the season, I wasn't quite sure, because we'd only just been allowed to sort of fully open the clubhouse. So I wasn't quite sure what sort of revenue we'd be getting from it, and obviously the revenue from the bar and the clubhouse sustains the revenue for players' expenses, etc., and travel costs. And I've been quite pleased with the response. Quite pleased. We're getting lots of functions at the club now. So I really do want to keep the club at step four. You know, because financially we're managing it okay, and the football has been really, really competitive, and is obviously. It's a good brand of football, and we get more travelling fans as well, which helps, especially when they come to a seaside resort. So they look forward to it.
Excellent stuff. Well, Peter Smurthwaite, chairman at Bridlington Town, a big congratulations once again for securing that Trident Community funding to carry on the great work the club's doing, and all the best on the pitch as well in the coming weeks.
Cheers. Thanks, Ben.
Let's go to County Durham now, and to Shildon, and they too are celebrating a grant this past week. And for more on this now, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the chairman at Dean Street. It's a welcome to the show to David Dent. Well, David, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations on this fantastic news. What does it mean for the club to be successful in this latest round of grant funding?
Well, first of all, it's fantastic we've been chosen. Shildon Football Club is a true community football club, Ben, and lots of clubs say that, but we truly are. We're doing some great stuff in and around the community, and this funding just gives us some momentum and a platform to do even more good in the community.
So when it comes to the reasoning and the project, it's community engagement during school holidays and to support the unemployed and homeless in the area. So very, very worthwhile stuff. So tell us a bit more about, you know, how the club's getting involved in these projects.
Well, if I take the school holiday project, we've been doing this for some time now, but this allows us to do it on a greater level. We engage with local kids around Shildon, and Shildon's, it's got some areas of high deprivation, and what we do is we try and locate those children who quite simply don't get a meal during school holidays. And what we do is we take them for breakfast at the football club, we give them a healthy lunch, and we lay on some activities for them so they get some fun, they're not kicking around the streets, they're structured learning and playing, and they get some food at the end of the day. This award allows us to do even greater, even greater in that direction. So that's one project, and that kicks off at Easter, and that's already arranged, so we're just busy identifying the school children and getting the volunteers organised around all of that. The school engagement programme is something new, and we just recently talking to our local primary school, and we were fortunate enough to win the Build Base Community Award and we built a community garden, and that's finished. So this will be the inaugural session on that pitch which is a 2G pitch at the centre, ideal for kids to come and play on it. So I've been in discussions with the head teacher from Thornland Primary School, which is up the road from us, the club, and they're going to have the school children using that facility for the summer term. So that's fantastic, that. And with regard to the unemployed, and I want to say some of the more vulnerable members of the community and children or around children, there's children's soup days. That's an opportunity to come up, get something warm to eat, sit in the warm, maybe take a shower if you need a shower, and just have that feeling of comradeship, sit around the table with people and not feel alone.
It's amazing. Really good work. And how important is this for, because obviously you're chairman of Shildon, David, so how important is it for Shildon to play its part? You know, we've just come out of COVID. You know, there's all kinds of problems in society at the moment. And how important is it for a club like Shildon to be doing things like this?
Well, it's massively important to me. I don't live in Shildon, but I was brought up in Shildon and born and bred in Shildon. And when I came back to Shildon through the football club, I saw the gap between those who have and those who haven't. It was quite stark and it was quite upsetting, really. So for me as a chairman of the football club, to use the football club as a medium, and sport and football in particular is a powerful medium, Ben, to use that as a medium to attract members of the community of the football club, that means everything to me. And obviously the team's got to be successful, and we want to be successful as far as we can. But that medium is really important to the football club and the community at large.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to, you know, those kids getting involved with the club as well, I mean, that bodes very well, doesn't it? Because it's not just about, you know, providing activities and things like that. It's getting them involved in the club. And you never know, some of these kids could be playing for the club one day.
It could be. But it's also raising the children's aspirations. Mm. So we've got a session where our centre forward, Billy Grewley-Smith, he's actually doing a talk with the school children on Tuesday about what it's like to play for Shildon as a footballer, and it's semi-professional. We play at a decent level in Northern Premier East, but also what it's like to be a detective in the police force, because that's what he's trained to be. So it's so that the children will get an idea. Well, you could be a footballer, and you could also be something else. And we're going to have a session with our physio, who's going to go into the school children. Our captain's going to go in at a later date. He's a college lecturer. So it just breeds that aspirational aspect to children's lives at an early age.
Well, brilliant stuff. And once again, David, big congratulations to everyone at the club securing this funding and all the other work that's gone on to get the club to this point. That's clearly going well off the pitch. On the pitch, it's not going too badly either at the moment. Quite comfortably in the playoffs. It's been a good debut at Step 4, to say the least.
I wouldn't say we're comfortably in the playoffs.
Sorry, I only look at league. Yeah. I only look at numbers on league tables. I do apologise. Yeah. But in the playoffs, then, how's that?
We're in the playoffs, yeah, and we're going to settle for that at the start of the season. It's a step in the unknown. We've always played in the Northern League. We've never played this level before, and we're pleasantly surprised with where we are. But that said, having gone in the playoffs, I want to stay in the playoffs. So that's the target for the management team and around the club, football club, to stay in those playoffs places and give it a go, see where we get to.
And just a general vibe, really, because like you say, you're playing at Step 4 now. We've been touching upon the community work the club's doing, and you know, your passion for making people's lives better using the power of football is has clearly been heard in this interview. And on the pitch, 6 points inside the playoffs. Okay, not comfortable, but going well. It is going well, isn't it? Generally at the club. I mean, how are you finding this season? As hopefully we've come out the other side of COVID. Fingers crossed.
Well, firstly, it's fingers crossed. It looks like we'll complete the season, and that's great for everyone. Not just in football. It's great for everyone in the whole community, that people can see an entire season. People seem to be coming out the other side. So that's good for everyone. But the football front, it's great that the fact we've been able to compete at another level. It is a step up. No disrespect to the Northern League, it's a step up. The teams are more organised, they're more competitive. And we've competed well, and we enjoy the challenge of competing at this high level.
And Sheffield this weekend, looking forward to that game finally, David?
Yes, we are. But no game's easy in this league. no matter what the league players can say, well, expect a tough task at Sheffield. If the game's on, of course, because we believe there's some weather problems down there.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed, touch wood, and all that game's on. But David Dent, chairman of Shildon, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on the show. Big congratulations again on receiving some money from the Trident Community Foundation, and keep up the excellent work.
Thank you. Thanks, Ben.
Let's talk about BuildBase now. BuildBase are continuing their support for various non-league projects. And we're going to be hearing from Prescott Cables shortly. But before that, let's go to Mosley and to hear all about how this bursary will be helping the club at Steel Park. Let's hear from one of the club directors. It's a big welcome to the show, to Matthew Hayton. Well, Matthew, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on receiving this BuildBase funding. Superb stuff. I mean, what does this mean for the club, and where's the funding going to?
Well, thanks for having us on, Ben. Really appreciate it. It is absolutely fantastic news for us. We get £10,000 worth of building materials now from BuildBase. And when we applied for that, we based it on an application for building new toilets inside Seal Park. We're finding that our crowds are increasing, and we're also hosting some big community events, such as our fireworks night, which attracts over 2,000 people. And we also host the Whit Friday Band Contest, which is a big event locally. And so we need better facilities so to ensure that visitors have a much better experience when they come to the ground.
That's great stuff. And so with regards to timeframes and that, I mean, how quickly is building work going to start and facilities ready?
Well, we'll be looking to start making kind of inroads into the project during the kind of the close season. Can't put an exact date on it, but we'll be working closely with BuildBase. I think it's in Stockport who'll be supporting us in the project. And hopefully over the next few months, hopefully in time for the new season, but just to see how far we can get along over the summer, people should start to see some improvements soon.
And you've touched upon it already, some of the events that you know the club's hosting, but how important are initiatives like this and events that Seal Park are hosting? How important is that for the club to, you know, be a part of the community and not just be a part of it, but be a leading light, really?
Yeah, it's massive. We've made a real effort as a club over the last couple of years to try and be a focal point for the community as much as we can be. And we found as we've emerged from the pandemic that people are rewarding us with coming through the turnstiles and repaying the work that we're doing out in the community. We try and support as many local initiatives as we can. We've got a really good relationship with Emmaus Mosley, which is a charity that supports the town, and people within the town really get on board with that. We try and support the local food bank as much as we can. But in turn, yeah, big events that we host really bring the community together for us. And then everyone kind of then sees us as a focal point within the town. You don't have to like football to come along to the events at Seal Park and enjoy them. There's something there throughout the year for everyone, really.
And obviously, you know, it's improvements being made all the time. But I'm assuming there's without giving too much away, obviously, Matthew, if it's tight-lipped and stuff, but I'm assuming there's more initiatives on the way in the coming seasons as well, and plans there afoot.
There are, yeah. Over the last few years, we've really kind of made some improvements to the ground. We've refitted our social club. We've replaced a lot of leaking roofs around the ground. Only last couple of weeks, we've now introduced or installed LED lights, floodlights. So, yeah, we want to kind of reduce our carbon footprint as much as we can. We want to be sustainable as a club. We have got more improvements in the pipeline. So it's kind of watch this space. And we're also, we're all ears when people have got suggestions to make to us. We're trying to listen to our supporters and the people of the town as much as possible as to what we can do better and how we can make their experience and their visit better.
And with regards to the football inside, it's been a pretty good season, I'm going to suggest. I've interviewed Dave Fisher a couple of times with various cup runs and you know, playoff races and that side of things. And that is being rewarded with a decent average attendance of just shy of 500 there. So it's certainly going in the right direction, both on and off the pitch, isn't it?
It is, yeah. David and the team are doing a great job. We've had a good season. I think at the beginning of the season, we'd have liked to have been in and around the playoffs towards the end. It's probably looking a little bit beyond us that now. But that's not to say it's been a really good season. We had a great run, a great start. We had a bit of a sticky patch, but we've come through that now. We've got a really good young team, a promising team. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to next season now.
And, 11 points from the playoffs, it probably is a tall ask, but it's a bit of a localish derby this weekend away at Trafford. So, plenty of away following here is open at Shoreview.
Yeah, definitely. We get great home attendances now, like you said, and our away backing is superb as well. And we know it'll be a tough game at Trafford, but it's usually an entertaining game as well when we play Trafford home or away. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, Matthew Hayton, director at Mosley, a big thank you for joining us. Also, once again, big congratulations on securing that build-based equipment. Superb stuff. And all the best for the remainder of the season.
Thank you very much. And just a big thank you to everyone who supported it as well in our kind of quest for the build-based funding, and especially to local clubs that backed us. We really appreciate them shouting out and trying to get people on board. So thank you to everyone.
And a big congratulations to Mosley AFC on receiving that £10,000 bursary courtesy of Buildbase. And they're not the only NPL club celebrating that bursary. Prescott Cables too are celebrating a £10,000 bursary from Buildbase. And to hear what this means for Prescott Cables now, let's hear it from one of their directors. It's a big welcome to the show, to Richard Tigwell. Well, Richard, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations on this £10,000 from Buildbase. Cracking stuff. What does it mean for the club?
Thanks very much, Ben. It means everything to us, to be honest with you. I can't really put into words sort of how grateful we are for it. We're a fan-owned club, so we don't have rich sugar daddy or anything like that. So everything that the club generates goes back into the club. And to get this money just means that we can bring forward the project of redoing the changing rooms that perhaps we would have had to have shelved for, you know, further down the line.
So, as you touched upon there, what exactly are these funds going to be used for? Because you mentioned the changing room facilities.
Yeah.
I mean, what would those improvements mean for the club and the general direction?
So in terms of what we've got planned and what we applied for the funds for was to modernise the changing rooms and make them more inclusive. So our changing rooms are quite dated, and we want them to be used by all aspects of the community. So not only the men's teams, but also a women's team, and also, you know, junior teams to use it in the future.
And it was mentioned that in the news story, wasn't it, that the club had trialled an under-18s women's team. So, I mean, these improvements here just opens up a whole new world
exactly.
of possibilities.
Yeah, of course it is. We did trial an under-18s team this season with a view to developing or starting an open-age team this summer going forward. But it's sort of become apparent that we do need to upgrade the changing room facilities. You know, anybody who's been in our changing rooms know that they are a little bit dated, and they could do with modernising a little bit.
Well, congratulations on
Thanks,
getting this funding. I mean, it's great stuff. What's the next steps then? When does all this work start?
Well, we want to get the season out of the way first. I think first and foremost, we've got a relegation battle to fight, and there's no shying away from that. So let's get that out of the way. Let's hopefully, I'm trying to find wood to touch wood, stay in the league. And then as soon as the final game's done, we'll crack on. Look to start mid-May with the development with an aim of getting it all done for the start of next season.
And with regards to the football, while I've got you, Richard, I might as well touch
yep.
on it, because there's a pretty big game this weekend, isn't there, against
Just
Cole.
A little bit.
I mean, what's your general thoughts on, because it's not just a relegation battle against teams in the West Division. You're playing against other teams, aren't you, step four,
yeah.
third bottom spot. So how's it all progressing? What are the targets like and that kind of thing?
I mean, if I'm being honest with you, the targets have moved throughout the season. In terms of the games we've got coming up, not just this weekend, but then we've got to go to Ramsbottom, and then we host Kendal at home. They're three massive games. You know, they're all six pointers from here on in. You know, it was mentioned last night about, you know, the points per game situation. We don't want to be thinking about that. We want to get out of the situation where we're thinking about that, and we want to finish 17th. So it's not even a thought. So they're all big games. We know that Colne's a massive challenge, but, you know, Kevin's got a good bunch of lads there now, and, you know, we're up for the fight.
And with regards to, you know, that battle that's coming up in the coming weeks or so, you got obviously got two away games up to Lancashire, but you know, home matches, and we have to say, I've said this so many times about Prescott Cables, but the home following is another level, isn't it? So those fans are so important, aren't they? Both home and away in the closing stages of this campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I'm biased, but I think we've got the best fans in non-league. You know, home and away, our fans, first of all, they're knowledgeable, so they don't have the wool pulled over their eyes very easily, and they demand that our players give 100% every week. You know, that's all they can ask for. But we want to make the IP Truck Park Stadium a fortress. We want to make it an intimidating place for visiting teams to come. And we've got to make it, like I say, a fortress. And if we win our home games, it makes the job a lot easier.
Well, Richard Tigwell, director at Prescott Cables, once again, big congratulations on securing the Bill Base funding. Big good luck in the coming weeks as well on the pitch.
Thank you.
And best of luck as well with the integrating women's football and junior football into the club more as well.
Thanks very much, Ben. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
And a big congratulations to Prescott Cables on that brilliant news, courtesy of Bill Base. And that's nearly it for this month's edition of the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. But there's just enough time for one last interview, and that takes us to the Midlands and to Chasetown. And the club this past week have announced the launch of a brand new pathway for younger players. And for more on this news now, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the chairman at Chasetown. It's a big welcome to the show, to Steve Jones. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to this great news about the new pathways that the club's offering for younger players, just a bit of background about how many players are involved with the club, because there's plenty of boys and girls teams taking part, isn't there, around the club. So how does all that fit in?
Well, fortunately, I've got a chairman, and I've got another committee who works for the youth team to manage that aspect for me. But Chasetown Football Club, we've got 42 teams, youth teams currently at the moment. Next season, that's going to increase again. So really impressive, and our kind of liaison with the local community is huge, really, on a weekly basis, with parents, with kids, with volunteers, with coaches. It's really good, and very, very pleased, and I'm very proud of the amount of kids teams we've got, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that regard, the club's announced this new pathway. What does this involve?
It was basically, it's an idea I've had since I've kind of come to the club back in May on a board level. Basically, what we've got is like most youth teams, it kind of stops at 16. And where do you go for young and gifted, talented footballers? So we wanted to bridge a gap, really, from the adult football through to youth football. And ultimately, be a little bit selfish in the fact that we want local footballers playing for Chasetown Football Club. So not only retaining our best and our best talent in Chasetown, but also to attract other local footballers and gifted footballers where they can actually see a clear pathway. So obviously from under 13s, 14s, they know that they've got an absolute clear pathway and progression where they can hopefully make the first team. And obviously, like I say, from a first team point of view, that's exactly what we want. And that's why we've got obviously the first team manager involved in the process as well, because he needs to be absolutely on board with the format and with the coaches as well, so that, you know, a style of play very similar to what Football League clubs do, to be perfectly honest, from Premier League clubs. So it's nothing being too clever, it's just trying to get the right people doing the right jobs. And we're very pleased that we've appointed a guy called Jamie Bunch, who's well known in the local area. Really excited about it.
And you mentioned Mark Swan's involvement in that, and it's basically about standardisation, if I can use a horrible corporate phrase. And you know, I know you said it's, you know, from a selfish point of view, it's for Chasetown, but really it benefits all levels of junior football in the area, doesn't it? Because if some kids might not make it for Chasetown, but they'll certainly make it at other clubs.
Well, absolutely, and the great thing we've got with Jamie, I mean, Jamie's worked with West Brom, he's worked with Birmingham, God help him. That's something from a Villa fan. But basically, his knowledge in the Midlands pyramid is fantastic. And obviously he's got those relationships already with the likes of league clubs as well. So obviously we have got any outstanding talents. We want to keep them in the Midlands, to be perfectly honest. And obviously we want the clubs to reciprocate if they're releasing players. There's only one place, you know, we want them to release them to, really, and that'll be Changetown. So it's all about building up those relationships. We have got relationships at the moment, but it's all about just making sure it's the best for the kids, to be perfectly honest, just to give them the correct pathway. And if they do drop out of league football, we've got a, you know, we've got some sides here who can be a willingness to take them on and to be a good good development for their own game.
No, great stuff, and congratulations to everyone at the club for, you know, having such a system in place and offering football to so many kids. I mean, it's great stuff, isn't it, really? Just to touch upon, you know, the first team as well, while I've got you, SD, because I mentioned Mark there, he's heavily involved in a bit of a promotion battle at the moment on many fronts. I mean, what have you made of the season more generally?
It's been an absolute pleasure, to be perfectly honest. I'd never realised that it was going to be this involved. I've been involved with Changetown for a number of years, well, 11 years, but I'm just sponsoring the club. Like most people at this sort of level, you kind of get more and more involved as you show an interest, as you put a little bit of money in. And it was a transition that I was gladly to accept when somebody offered me the chairmanship. But certainly with the way results have gone, it's probably better than we expected, to be perfectly honest. We are probably the unfancied team at the top. There's nothing in between ourselves, Halzo and Ilkeston. But yeah, we're lying third at the minute. There's only two points between the three of us. We've got to play both of those sides. So yeah, all to play for, but we're delighted where we are. But it's certainly relentless at the top there. It's every game's a cup final from here on in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll allow you a plug in a second for this weekend's big game, because that's pretty big as well. But whatever happens, be it automatic promotion or the playoffs, given the gap to the rest of the division, I think the playoffs is almost a certainty now, isn't it? And, you know, this level of football you're playing at, it's been rewarded with high attendances, just shy of 500 the average attendance this season at Changetown. So it's all heading in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think generally there's a goodwill in communities for non-league football, to be honest. I mean, that's probably one of the only benefits we've probably had coming out of the pandemic, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, we've had some great crowds. We've had 800s, 900s, 700s, 600s, and it's only an average of 500 and something, because it's, you know, we've had a couple of league games in there as well where there was 100 and something there on a wet and Wednesday night. But really pleased. We're actually, in 2 weeks' time with the Ilkeston game, we're looking to break our league attendance record as well. So we're kind of expecting around about 1,500 people. And that breaks a previous kind of 12-year record when we played FC United of Manchester. So it's, looking forward to it. But it's good. It's a good feel-good factor around the place. And it's, really enjoying it at the moment.
And let's talk, you touched upon one game there. There's three games that I'd like to focus your mind on, Steve. I'm imagining it's already focused on them all, to be honest, as well. Obviously, Stamford this weekend, Ilkeston at home next Saturday, and finishing this fortnight off with an away trip to Hales Owen. So to say the next three games are seismic would be an understatement. How much are you looking forward to them?
With trepidation, to be perfectly honest, because I mean, I used to really enjoy just watching the games, to be fair, but now I'm kind of involved. It's huge, and it's great, and it's fantastic. Listen, it's why we're all involved in football for. I say we are the underdogs, but, you know, we just got to keep focusing on, it's an old adage, isn't it, one game at a time. But that's certainly the mantra of the management team and the players. But, you know, they're confident, they believe in their ability, but it's certainly one game at a time. So we've got a big game tomorrow against Stamford. That won't be easy. We beat them at their place, so they're coming for revenge as well. So fingers crossed for that. And then, like I said, we've got Ilkeston the week after, and then Hales Owen. So, yeah, they come thick and fast, mate, but absolutely enjoying the journey.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Well, Steve Jones, chairman at Changetown, big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on the show. Big congratulations again with all the effort going in to developing youth football at the club, and all the best for the running.
OK, really appreciate that. Thank you very much, mate. Appreciated it.
Steve Jones there, chairman of Changetown, joining us here on February's edition of the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. And that's it for this month's edition of the show. A big thank you to all my guests this month for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you'll make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.